All right, we're so glad that you decided to join us on Mother's Day Sunday here in May. We don't know what the weather will do from day to day. We have one day with that 70 degrees and the next day's 30. And we get snow in May too for day before Mother's Day. So we're glad that you're here. You want to hear what the Bible has to say about mothers. And I want to honor mothers, of course, and to lift them up, be an encouragement to them, as well as constructive as what the Bible lays down. The profile of a mother. A mother appears to be a normal human being. She has all of those physical features that all people have. Two eyes, two hands, two arms, two feet, all connected to one body. Now that is what you see if you just look at the exterior of a mother. If you were ever a child, you will know that she has at least three sets of eyes, two in front, two in back, so that she can see all those things she must see, but that are hidden from her, and one on each side of her head so she can protect the cookie jar at all times, no matter where she stands in the kitchen. All eyes are capable of seeing through wood, plaster, so she can tell what is going on behind closed doors. She has bionic ears. She can hear a dirty word whispered a block away. She can hear a complaint that is only thought when unpleasant tasks are assigned to her kids. With her many arms and hands, she can prepare a meal, find dad's shirt, change a diaper, run the vacuum cleaner, and hit two kids all at the same time. With strong, fast legs, she can move about the house like a speeding bullet. She patrols the streets, stops a fight in the backyard, catches a tennis ball before it's flushed down the toilet, prevents a child from falling out of a tree in the driveway before dad comes home. All at the same time, of course. Her endless supply of energy can only be a God-given attribute. She is first to arise each morning, has breakfast ready for the brood as they get up, and gets each child ready for school, is both a barber, a beautician, a fashion consultant, chairwoman, budget director, purchasing agent, paramedic, mechanic, a veterinarian, interpreter, travel agent, interior decorator, and is the last to bed at night. With a tender kiss, she can heal everything from a cut finger to a broken heart. With her kiss, she can convince a balding 50-year-old man that he is just as handsome as he ever was. What a whopper. Her ability to love is exceeded only by God's love itself. Her love grows with her children. And it is possible to tell the success or failure of her children by her life. There are no depths to which a child can fall that will diminish her love, and no heights of success a child can achieve that will increase it. Her love is protective, tender, consistent, understanding, forgiving, unchanging, unselfish, giving, contagious, comfortable, and everlasting. The nearest thing we can see in this world to God's love is a mother's love. That was the profile of a mother. There aren't enough words to be able to thank the mothers that were like a loving mother, raised her children right. After all, none of us would be here today if it wasn't for mothers. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you might bless, Lord, as the preaching of your word goes forth. Help us, Lord, to honor mothers this morning on Mother's Day. What wonderful mothers there were in the Bible that you have written about. over thousands of years and been studied, and Lord, that we've learned and grown, that our family unit might be godly, it might be what it should be, that we could have godly children be raised up and be used by you here in this wicked world that we live in. Thank you for a holy, perfect book in the King James Version. For the English-speaking people, we're glad that we have a copy. I pray, Lord, that you might empower me to preach and empower those that listen to be able to understand and then apply to their life. In Jesus' name, amen. As always, I ask you to make sure you do have a Bible, the King James, in front of you. And that you do have a piece of paper and a pen to be able to take notes as well. Get rid of the distractions, as I've always said, you know. Go ahead and turn off the TV and the cell phones. This is a time you need to hear from God, not from Aunt Betsy or whatever, you know, on Mother's Day. And you know, put all of the critters away that you might have in your home. Put a do not disturb sign on the front door. You name it. But this should be an important time. Always the worship of God should be the most important within your life. Take your Bibles this morning. Please turn to the book of Genesis in chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21. As I just read that profile of a mother, obviously if all of those things were physically and factually true of every mother, that would be a miracle. Amen. And that's what I want to preach about this morning also, is miracle mothers. Of course, the first mother listed in history was Eve. Certainly she had she didn't have a birth, just like her husband Adam didn't have a birth either. God formed man out of the ground, and the way woman was formed was out of the man. The man came first, the woman came out of the man. And that carries right through to the New Testament and what it should be. Man should be the head of the house. He's the one that's responsible for everything that goes on in the house, in every area. And the woman is to be the keeper at home, the one that raises the children while the husband is out making the living. In other words, the man's supposed to make the bread and butter. He's supposed to bring that home, and the wife is supposed to spread the butter on the bread and feed the brood as well. So God's consistent about that all the way through the Old Testament and the New Testament. So actually, Eve's our first miracle mother as she brought forth her first child, and you know what his name was, right? Of course. It's Cain. Go to Genesis chapter 21 and let's see some other miracle mothers, as we will this morning. Genesis 21, follow as I read. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived, and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born of him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him in a son in his old age. And the child grew. and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. The first child from Sarah is a miracle child. Everything's going to revolve around Isaac and then his son Jacob as well. And Jacob had 12 sons, and that's where we get the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. That's where Israel came from, according to God's word. Did you notice in verse 2 that Abraham bare Abraham a son in his old age at a set time? That word time always throws a different light on things. You know, we have a time that we want in our lives. We want to have children, right, when we want to have them, at what age we want and what kind of child and everything else, you know, and that they're all healthy, nothing wrong, and all of this. And boy, we got a time. Boy, we got it all figured out. Now, God has a set time for everything within our lives. And he has a set time for a child to be born and not to be born. You'll find that as we study this morning, that God is the one that opens the womb and closes the womb. And he'll do that at any time that he pleases, because he has a plan a lot better than our plan. He knows what's coming in the future. We don't. And as it's been said many times, we don't know about the future, but we know who holds the future. Amen. If you're not saved this morning, I certainly encourage you to reach out and put trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you do that once in your life. It's called being born again. And then you have a new life in Christ. And God will change your life in such a good way. You'll still have trials and tribulations, of course. But you will have the Lord to go with you through those times. And God has a set time for all of that to happen. And so God wants you to be saved today. The Bible tells you now is the day of salvation. So the Bible does tell us what the set time for your being saved is. Today is the day you need to get saved and be born again, have a new life in Christ. I hope you'll take that invitation. Back in Genesis 21, there's a set time in verse 2. And then you find that it's Isaac in verse 3 that was born unto him. And verse 6, she said, wow, what a miracle. Who would ever have thought of that? It makes me laugh that God would do such a miracle within my life. And that I could share that with others and they would laugh as well. And then it talks about Isaac being weaned in verse 8 and verse 9. And this is, of course, when the child does not suck upon the mother for nourishment, but that he or she is fed, you know, with milk from cows, goats, whatever, and, you know, soft things that a baby can go ahead and take. But that is a big deal, especially with the Jews. It says there in verse 8. That there was a great feast that he went and gave when Isaac was weaned. Go to chapter 17. Let's back up and look at a few things. Anybody that knows me and my preaching, there's always loads of scripture. And because I want the truth, you don't want my opinion, I will not give it to you usually. But I will give you the Bible so that you can read it with your own eyes. Chapter 17 and in verse 15, let's pick it up. It says, and God said unto Abram, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. There's a reason for everything God does, but it says, first of all, the name Sarai, It means a steward, someone that takes care of things. We are all stewards under God, but the mother, of course, is the steward there of the children and the way the house runs and all of this day to day type of thing and so forth. A ruler in the house, if you will. He says, I want you to change, her name's going to be Sarah, and that means lady. That means queen. Mm-hmm. The criticism by many of the women libbers out here is that the Bible always puts down the woman. No, that's not true at all. Usually people talk about things that they know nothing about. They've never even studied the Bible, but they're just parroting what some liberal professor said in some college or high school or whatever, you know, that has no factual basis at all. There's a set time that God has and set roles that everyone is to play within life. That's the way you live your life if you're going to have a godly life and you're going to please God with your life rather than you just pleasing yourself and being selfish, thinking of your own. But you need to think about others as well. And God will give you all of that love when you really get saved and so forth. And so it says here in chapter 17 that her name is changed. Wants to have Abraham see her as a lady. A lady. Now, you've got females. Then you got women. Then you got ladies. Ladies are at the top of the totem pole, as we used to say back in children day. But you see, every woman needs to strive for that. Every mother needs to strive for that too. Just changing a name won't do it, but the way you act, the way you talk, the way you relate, and everything in life and to your husband. That's the one that God gave you life out of. A lot of women live for their children. Now, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that the woman is supposed to live for the husband. He is the head of the wife. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and other places that will tell you that very, very clearly. It's just a role that needs to be within life. And you shall you see authority given and so forth, and submission to authority as well. When you buck at that, you're going to have a bad marriage. You're going to have bad children. Divorce may be in the future. You know, I've been preaching this book some 42 years now. Been, say, 50 years, and I found that when you do it God's way, it's a lot better than doing it the world's way, or your way, or what you want. No, you need to do it God's way. But that's what it lays down, and God lifts up the woman, the mother, the wife. That's what God does. And that's what I want to do, I hope, in preaching this morning, because my whole idea is to honor mothers on Mother's Day especially. So here in chapter 17 and in verse 15 we see that, and because he says he's going to bless her in verse 16, I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Yeah, David, Solomon, so forth, you could trace them right back there to Abraham in a miracle mother having a baby at 90 years old, and he at 100 years old is what we just read. So kings come from her. You know, she never thought that in her life all of this would happen, huh? She had an influence on every person and every nation in the future. But she didn't know it. You know, mothers, And fathers too. Father's Day's coming up. Don't worry, ladies. I'll get the fathers too. But, dear mother, this morning, you have a great influence. You're going to be an influence for good, or you're going to be an influence for bad. You're going to teach a holy life unto your children by being consistent in reading the Bible every day, praying every day, going ahead and coming to church, tithe, be a worker in the church, do something in your life for God. Yeah, that's very important that you do that. You're an influence on people in the future you don't even know about. Generation after generation after generation. Yeah, from you. Mothers have a responsibility in that way, as every Christian does as well, but especially for the family unit, it says there. And here it says in verse 18, and Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. If you knew about that, of course, that's where Sarai, before a big change came in her life, Sarai got impatient with God. And she told Abraham to go into her bondmaid, Hagar. And she brought forth a child. You know, we gotta watch out we don't make our own plans and go ahead of God. Having patience, having obedience to God is very important within every person's life. It can affect nations in the future. Everything about it. Brought forth a son called Ishmael from Hagar. And sure enough, God did not, that wasn't God's plan. You know, you can mess up God's plan for your life. God has something great planned for your life. He set it down, the roles that are to be set, and stay in those roles. He knows better than you or anybody else. And so, but she didn't want to do that. She was going to help God. Yeah, we do get impatient, don't we? And we always think that we have a better idea than God. And so anyway, brought forth Ishmael, and lo and behold, down through the years, then came Muhammad, then came the Muslims, then we have all of the wars that we have today, our troops over in Iraq and Afghanistan and all over the place, and the bombings, the terrorism, everything. Right back to Sarai, as she was called then, went ahead of God, didn't bring a blessing, but God was going to bless her when her name was changed. She was going to follow what God had for her life. Because in verse 18, Abraham said, oh, I've already got a son, that's Ishmael. That wasn't in God's plan, and that's not going to be recognized by God, as you're going to find out. Verse 19, he says, and God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son, indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant, that means a covenant, a promise, with him for everlasting covenant. This is going to be a promise that is kept forever and with his seed after him. In other words, all of the children that come after this as well. Verse 20, and as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. Wow. There's that set time again. Just pay attention to the word of God. God has a set time for the birth. He tells her that it's going to be a set time. This time, next year. God knows all about that, doesn't he? What a wonderful God. And this is a miracle mother, Sarah. Didn't say all mothers are perfect, that's for sure. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no doubt about that. But there can be good mothers and not so good mothers. And when you have not a good mother, then if she will humble herself and repent and get things in order like God said, then things will start working right. And you have the peace and happiness and joy that he wants in the family and within your life as well. Go to chapter 22 as we continue here with Sarah and this miracle mother. Chapter 22 and in verse 15, I call your attention. And the angel of the Lord called on Abraham out of the heaven the second time. You see, this is before the Bible was written and so forth. So God actually spoke out of heaven. Yes, there were visions and all kinds of things going on and angels appearing and all kinds of things before the Bible came. Now we have the infallible Word of God, perfect, inerrant, in plenary inspiration. It's totally the truth. Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. So don't tell me that it's not truth. Jesus doesn't lie like you. No, he's the wonderful Son of God, and we have a perfect book. But God used to speak out of heaven, and not only did he do it the first time that we just saw in chapter 17, he comes and says it the second time. Did you ever notice that sometimes you don't get the message the first time? Even though it's clear, our minds, it's all messed up by this world. All of the TV and the cell phones and the Facebook and any other part of the body book and all of this stuff going on out here, gossip and everything, just no truth. No truth. It'll mess up your mind. And so when you hear the truth, a lot of times you won't get it all. You need to hear again. God comes and he says, this is the second time that I have come to you in verse 15. And in 16 he says, and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. Let me back up real quick. Most of you know, but let me be sure you, because we just can't read the whole Bible. It's not going to fit in our time period, is it? God always wants you to prove your love to him. Always. And the greatest proof of your love is sacrifice. What are you willing to actually sacrifice for your God? For Jesus. It's so easy for people to say, oh, I love Jesus, and oh, I'm a Christian. Yeah. They don't even know what love is, and they don't really know what a Christian is. All kinds of people walking around saying they're Christian, they've never been born again in their life. They don't have a new life. Go to church once in a while and say they're a Christian, wear a cross around their neck, you know, that makes you a Christian. Oh, I've been baptized as a baby. You'll never find that in the Bible. You know, we need to get back to the truth. And so, God told Abraham, one that's going to be the father of many nations, and he's going to have seed going on. Now, of course, if the seed, Isaac, was killed, then God's promise would be broken. Woo! What a conundrum, huh? God's used to all of that. He wants Abraham to prove his love for God. And so he tells Abraham, I want you to offer your son as a sacrifice. Took him up to the top of Mount Moriah. We're in the New Testament. That's where Jesus was crucified as well, outside of Jerusalem. But at this time, Mount Moriah, and he took wood and everything up there to offer his own son. He had to kill his son. because God said to. Okay? Do you think God or Abraham loved God? He's going to prove it. He's going to prove it. And so he goes ahead and obeys God. Took him up there. Of course, God stopped his hand before he slayed his son and went ahead and found the ram in the bushes there, and that's what he sacrificed. God always has a plan you don't know anything about. And don't give me these crazy things about all these serial killers, you know, and they go out and murder people and rape and riot and everything else. Oh, God told me to do that. No, he didn't. He didn't. Because you've got to be saved first before you even can prove your love to God. So in your life, mothers, everyone else, yes, if we say we love God, God's going to require that you prove that. Yeah, you do have something to prove in life. And so we need to see what's going to happen here. And did you notice in verse 16, God speaking, and he said, "Thou hast not withheld thy son," from sacrifice, of course, "thine only son." You might want to circle that. Now, wait a minute. Abraham too had two sons. He had Ishmael, and then he had Isaac. But God only respected Isaac. He says, "That came through your wife, which I told you, Abraham." But you didn't wait. You obeyed your wife, went into Hagar, and brought. But I don't recognize that. You said, "I'll deal with it." Because he's going to be a father of many nations too, but he's going to be a wild man, and the Bible tells us all about that. I got to watch; I don't get off on so many bunny trails. In verse 17, it says that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and the seed. Thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. When God saw the sacrifice that Abraham was willing to make, he took his son, he obeyed him, and did not hold back his son. Therefore, whatever God would command, then he blessed. What a wonderful thing. It's always better to follow God. Yes, mothers, it's better to follow God than the now movement. And, you know, going out and burning bras and doing all kinds of crazy stuff, you know. Yeah. And by the way, murdering a child in a womb is not God's plan. That's murder. And no, it's not your body that you're aborting. You're aborting someone else's body. He's a person in the womb. And I won't get off on that bunny trail either. But anyway, chapter 18, would you turn there to chapter 18, verse 9. For it says, "And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife?" God sent a couple of angels there to Abraham, and says he comes, and the angel comes and says, "Where's Sarah thy wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." She wasn't out doing other things. She was a miracle mother, and she was at home. "Behold, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and stricken in age, and ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have a pleasure, my Lord also, or being old also. And the Lord said unto Abram, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. So here again, you see God's plan just being worked out for those that will wait and obey and be obedient and be in submission to God. Her husband raise her children. God's going to bless them. How many times have we missed the blessing of God because we made the wrong choice? Got to watch out about choices. That's a whole different message. But we got to watch out about that. made an unwise choice, first of all, with Ishmael, but a good choice in listening to God then and proving his love to God as well. Let's see what the New Testament says about that very thing is before we go on to the next. Hebrews chapter 11, please. The book of Hebrews and chapter 11. If you truly are born again, you've got a King James Bible, you need to learn the books of the Bible. You need to learn so you can go and turn to it and find these things. Memorize the Word of God. Grow in your life. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11. Here he is in this hall of fame. Hebrews chapter 11 is talked about, named that, because it's all about the faith of all of the ones that went before. This is New Testament now. Hebrews 11 and in verse 11 it says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. In other words, she believed the promise of God. Finally, in verse 12, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky of the multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Mm-hmm. As I said before, all future nations and kings and everything else, and guess who else came from Isaac? The Lord Jesus Christ. Because out of Isaac came Jacob and so forth. And then David, King David, second king in the Bible, and Solomon as well. And so all of those, that's the lineage of Jesus Christ. Just me, read Matthew, the first chapters, and Luke, the first chapters, and find the lineage there. What a miracle. A miracle mother, Sarah. Let's look at another one. 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1, please. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'm so glad that you did make the right choice this morning in coming to church. That you, you know, we can't literally come to a church building, but you are the church, and so we're gathering together and hearing the Word of God together. And if I get this video straightened out, get that up on YouTube as well, we'll see how all of that works. Just trying to please God and be a blessing the best I can. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 6. First of all, it talks about Hannah in verse 2, for you that aren't familiar with this. Hannah and Peninnah. And Peninnah could have children, but Hannah could not have children. It says in verse 5, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb, and her adversary, that's Peninnah, one that was against her, made laughed at her and everything, provoked her sore. In other words, a lot. For to make her fret, to worry, be on edge, because the Lord had shut up her womb. Drop down to verse 9 if you would. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed. Godly women pray. And prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying, it's one thing to pray, but it's another thing to continue praying day after day, praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. He noticed her mouth moving as she was praying. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved. That's where your prayer needs come from, is from your heart. You can't fool God. He knows what's coming from your heart or not. But her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. Boy, you can sure put people in a pigeonhole without knowing anything about their life or anything else, you know. Just go ahead and run ahead of the Lord and judge people and so forth. You don't know her heart. She wasn't a drunk anyway. And it says in verse 14, and Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thine wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, oh, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink. Hey, that's a good thing for a godly woman to do. But I poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, that is a worthless woman, a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. And Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Yeah, you don't pray come away sad. No, you come away rejoicing. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife. That's talking about the sexual act, obviously. That's the word knew or know in the Bible. And the Lord remembered her. You know, the Lord's got a better memory than you do. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. You see, the word Samuel means asked of God. Drop down to verse 24, if you would, please. And when she had weaned him, again, here he's off the breast, and he's going ahead and starting eating and everything. It's a big deal. When she weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks, big old oxen type of animals, and one ephah flour and a bottle of wine. Don't worry. She wasn't going to drink the wine. Nobody else was going to drink the wine. You pour it out as a sacrifice offering. You'll find that back in the Torah. And brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. He's the priest, remember. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. and shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped. And he worshipped the Lord there. Mm-hmm. You see, she wanted to prove her love to the Lord for answering her prayer. How do you prove love again? Sacrifice. Sacrifice. She was willing to give up her child to go ahead and serve the Lord as a priest under Eli the priest and be brought up that way. And life would be dedicated to the Lord. So here when he was weaned, it was probably 3 years at the most, probably younger than that. But there was a dedication. What a miracle mother. She couldn't. God had closed her womb and God opens the womb at his set time. Wait on God. And again I say, wait. Important that we understand. What about a godly mother? What a saintly soul Susanna Wesley was. Wesley, the one where the religion of Wesleyanism came from. She was the mother of 19 children, including John and Charles Wesley. She dedicated her large brood to God and did not consult child guidance textbooks for guidance as to the preservation from evil in the lives of her children. Given below are the 16 rules she laid down over 200 years ago for keeping her many sons and daughters in the paths of righteousness. Number one, eating between meals, not allowed. Number two, as children, they are to be in bed by 8. Number three, they are required to take medicine without complaining. Number four, subdued self-will in a child and thus work together with God to save the child's soul. In other words, she disciplined them. Verse five, the fifth thing, teach a child to pray as soon as he can speak. Number six, require all to be still during a family worship. None of this running around, getting up, going to the bathroom, and all that kind of stuff, you know. And no, you need to honor God. You need to worship God. He's more important than you are. You are his servant. You are his child if you're saved. Act like an obedient child. Show your children and others that you truly are willing to sacrifice to be able to worship God. Number seven, give them nothing they cry for and only that which they ask for politely. Number eight, to prevent lying, punish no fault which is first confessed and repented. Number nine, never allow a sin of act to go unpunished. Number 10, never punish a child twice for a single offense. Number 11, commend and reward good behavior. Number 12, any attempt to please, even if poorly performed, should be commended. If he's trying to please and do right, you commend him. Number 13, preserve property rights even in the smallest matters. Number 14, strictly observe all promises. You don't promise your child something and then not do it. Keep your word. He sees that. It means a lot to him or her. 15, require no daughter to work before she can read well. Got to get your reading down. It's ridiculous in the school system that reading and writing is not at the top of the list. So many people, see these kids coming out of school and graduating and everything. They can't even put two sentences together. They can't write in cursive. That isn't taught. You know, they throw out prayer In 1962, throughout the Bible, 1963 and so forth, on and on, we got all of these liberal high school teachers teaching a lie of evolution instead of creation, which the Bible and common sense would tell you as well. Evolution is the biggest lie, and it's not scientific at all. There's no scientific evidence for a Big Bang or anything else. It's all a big story, extrapolated on and on and on. And believe the big lie, and most people do. But 16, teach children to fear the Lord. Boy, there's 16 rules. What? A godly mother has rules? Yeah. Yeah. And God blesses that. You know, God made 10 rules that I remember. Yeah, rules are good. They're not bad. I doubt seriously if modern day psychologists could improve on those basic rules for raising children, and neither can you. Amen. Susanna Westlake. 19 kids. Oh boy, I've got two, three children. I don't know what I'm gonna do. Wow. Shall I make my children go to church? yes, is the answer with no further discussion. You know who's going to talk to you now? J. Edgar Hoover. Back in 1935, the FBI was born. He was the first director of the FBI. The FBI is all messed up now in 2020. It has been for a long time. But when it first started out, it was different. And it goes out. Yes, you should make your children go to church. Why? How do you answer Junior when he comes to breakfast on Monday morning? Mr. Hoover says, and announces to you that he isn't going to school anymore. You know, Junior goes. How do you answer him when he comes in a very besmudged, and says, I'm not going to take a bath? You know, Junior bays, doesn't he? So why all of this timidity then in the realm of his spiritual guidance and growth? Are you going to wait and let him decide what church he will go to when he's, quote, old enough? Quit kidding. You didn't wait until he was old enough to decide whether he wishes to remain dirty or clean. Do you wait until he's old enough to decide if he wants to take medicine when he's sick? What will you say when Junior announces he does not like to go to church? That's an easy answer. Just be consistent. Tell him, Junior, in our family, we all go to church, and that includes you. Your firmness and example will furnish a bridge over which youthful rebellion travels into rich and satisfying experiences in personal religious living. J. Edgar Hoover, at least he's seen enough criminals and he's seen enough backgrounds and so forth. He knows a little about the family. But it's just another testament that the Bible is true and God knows better than you and he wants you to be blessed. Just obey him. Go to Luke chapter 1 if you would please. And again, look at another miracle mother. You really worshiping God this morning? The devil got your attitude. The devil's got your mind. The devil's got your thoughts. The devil's got rebellion put in your heart rather than godliness. I'm talking about honoring mothers. Yeah, real godly mothers. And how to be a godly mother. I'm talking about miracle mothers. God did some miracles through women. Mothers all the way down through history. And of course, this one's very familiar to us, isn't it? In Luke chapter 1, and in verse 30, it says, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou shalt hast found favor with God. Why would she be found favor with God, just because God wanted to favor her. You know, God chooses who he wants to choose for whatever job. Now, he's not choosing people to be saved and the other people going to hell. That's Calvinism. Okay? That's what the Reformed churches say. No such thing in the Bible. God doesn't make people go to hell. That's their choice. You can either be saved, go to heaven, or you can completely rebel and not receive Jesus, reject him, and go to hell. That's up to you. It's better to go to heaven. It's better to make the right choice. And she had proved herself before God as a godly woman. She wasn't a run around. She wasn't any of this kind of stuff. She wasn't a drunkard and take dope and everything else. No, she wasn't like that. Verse 30, he says right there that she had found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Amen. I like that kingdom. No end to that one. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Again, there's that word know. It's talking about sex, talking about coitus and so forth. And so she's never been with a man is what it's talking about. I know, haven't known a man. She's a virgin. Verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Amen. Now, that's a miracle mother, brother, virgin birth. I mean, you can't get bigger than that. And sure enough, that's where Jesus came from, was the womb of a virgin. Mm-hmm. She'd never known a man. People that hate God and hate Jesus, hates the Bible and everything else, they'll make up all kinds of stories that she was with a Roman soldier and on, just make up fairy tales. They talk about the Bible being a fairy tale. No, I can prove that the Bible is inerrant. It's not a fairy tale at all. It speaks to the facts of real life and real people. This book's full of sinners that became saints and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And you realize you're a sinner. Amen. You can repent and become a saint if you want. That's your choice. Don't blame God if you end up in hell. That's not God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, Peter says. Now, the next miracle mother is found right after that. Look at chapter 1 and in verse 36 as we continue. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she was 58 at the time, by the way, and that word cousin isn't the same as we know as family members in our society, in America and so forth. It just means a relative. You'll find that out later as well. But it says, and she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. Boy, that's a miracle. God opened that womb. She had a barren womb, and God's now going to open her womb, and she's going to bring forth a child. And this was 6 months. this happened to her 6 months before we just read about Mary as well. And because, how can that happen? Verse 37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto thee according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Elizabeth's husband, obviously, is Zacharias. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, heard her come in and say hi, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. So even she's filled with the Holy Ghost. Her son's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost too from the womb, the Bible tells us. And she spake out with a loud voice. She must have been a Baptist, got a loud voice. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. That's what that baby is. It's the fruit of your womb. And when is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice sounded, salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Amen, amen. Guess who's going to come out of her womb? Go back to verse 13. We'll go backwards here. There in verse 13. This is before speaking to Mary even. The angel said unto him, this is Zacharias, the angel's talking to us, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. Boy, that's a good idea. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before them in the spirit and power of Elias, that is Elijah of the Old Testament, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Who's going to come out of Elizabeth's womb? John the Baptist. 6 months before Jesus being born. John the Baptist, he came before. God was preparing. Did you understand it said you're going to be prepared? God's always preparing things for you. Even though you don't thank him for it, you don't appreciate what he's done for you, he's still God. And he still loves you, no matter how rotten and backslidden and in sin that you may be. He still doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants you to go to heaven. He wants you to live for him and please him. He created you. He's the one that gives you breath and your heart beating right now. It's up to him. When he says that's the end, it's the end for you. How about loving him? God's always preparing. He's got great things prepared for you. Not if you rebel against him, though. Go to chapter 7 as we continue. Chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 24. When the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. Now here's the Lord Jesus. And he's going to tell people what really is going on with John the Baptist. Because he was beheaded by King Herod when at 30 years old. Right after he baptized the Lord Jesus in the River Jordan. And this is what he says in verse 24. He says, what went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what ye out to see? A prophet? Yea, I send to you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thee, before thy face, which shall prepare, there's that word again, shall prepare the way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, mothers, is not greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. So Jesus gave his thoughts on John the Baptist, which Jesus always spoke the truth, never lied about anything, so this is the truth. At that time, you notice the word is, there is no greater prophet than John the Baptist at that time. Why? Because God had chosen to open the womb and make a miracle there, first of all in Mary's womb, and then in Elizabeth's as well, just being old in age. You know, you can have children at any kind of age, kind of comes as a surprise and shock to many, but that's in the Bible, been there a long time, amen. You know, women are completely different than men in their thinking and everything, their makeup, I mean, just everything about it. Women are emotional beings, they get hurt easily and so forth, you know, and offended and all of this kind of stuff. Men are more practical, you know. They that's why they're in mechanics and all kinds of things that go on and so forth. They've got a practical side. You're the brain that God gave you. There's actually two systems, and women are ruled many times by the limbic system. That's in the center of your brain, and that's the impulsive side. They're very impulsive, an actor real quick without thinking and all of this kind of thing. Now, all of us, men and women, have both of these things, but women especially are more emotional and so forth, take things out of context, you know, and say, oh, you said this, and I didn't say that at all. Nobody did, and that's why I record all of this preaching and everything too as well. But men, they're more logical. In the prefrontal cortex is where that comes from, and although men and women have that, that's more prominent there within men as well. So I kind of understand. You say some things I can't understand. I know, amen. I'm 75 years old and haven't understood a woman yet, amen. You know, my wife and I have been married 54 years now. And a good mother to our children as well. But you learn to love one another, live with one another, grow with one another, serve the Lord with one another. What kind of life do you have? You saved? You godly? You doing something for God? Are you learning the Word of God? Are you praying and reading? Are you faithful to the Lord? What is your life? Mm-hmm. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and in verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, there's our plan, the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Now, this isn't his, Timothy is not his actual, literal, physical son, but Paul did get him saved. He led him to the Lord. And Timothy, he right away got with Paul, went on missionary journeys and everything else, as you read through the book of Acts and everything. And now Timothy's going to be a preacher. He's going to be a minister. He's going to follow the Lord. How we need godly boys to be brought up in godly families and have a desire to be able to learn the Word of God, get know God better, and surrender their life to preaching the Word of God and trying to be used by God in every way, whether it's a missionary, an evangelist, a preacher, or even just a faithful, consistent church member and so forth, deacon, whatever. I appreciate faithful men and women. That's what the church is made of. Need good examples before others. So he's writing to Timothy about some of these things. He says in verse 2, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience. His conscience was clear. That without ceasing I have remembrance of thee. Do you remember people in your life that have been a blessing to you? He says, I remember. In my prayers day and night. He's praying for Timothy day and night, it says. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned, in other words, not fake, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother, Lois, and in thy mother, Eunice, and am persuaded that in thee also. The grandmother, he talks about first of all, she's a mother, but she's grand to Timothy because she's the mother of his mother. This is the only time in the King James Version that the word grandmother is used in the Bible. But you see, Lois was a godly mother, obviously, and she brought up her daughter, Lois, Eunice, and thy mother Eunice, Timothy's mother, and am persuaded that in thee also. Godly mothers. Even though Timothy had to be saved, he was brought up in at the knee of godly mothers, and his grandmother too. There wasn't any infighting in the family. They were godly. Timothy took notice. And so he got close enough to Paul when he was unsaved to even hear the word of God and question and come. And Paul led him to the Lord. And here he is going to be a preacher. Why? Because of godly mothers. Because of Lois. Because of Eunice. It's going to come out of your womb, godly mother. Well, they see a good example before them as the children grow up. Important that we always realize as Christians that people are always watching, no matter who you are. Look at chapter 3 there, 2 Timothy 3, and in verse 15. He's writing here to Timothy, and he says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Yeah, the Bible, it was the center of their family. God was in the center of their family. God first, then the family, then the nation and so forth, your own life and all of that. God, thou shalt have no other gods before me. God wants first place in your life. I don't care who you are, because he's the one that gives you the family. He opens your womb and closes it. It's up to him. He never makes a mistake. He never does wrong. So God knows more about it than you do. What you need to do is rejoice in the Lord and raise your children right. If you haven't, then you just need to repent and try to undo that. You need to get on your phone. You need to get with your children. You need to confess some things before them. Ask their forgiveness for things that you've been a bad example in, and start being a good example. Start going to church, reading your Bible, getting right with God. God wants to bless you and your family. Don't you try to blame God for anything. It's you. Like I said, Father's Day is coming up. I got plenty to say to the fathers too, so don't I know that limbic side, ladies, that you know, you're emotional about that and everything. Realize that the Bible is true and it tells you what's important. Translations of the Bible. There is a story about four clergymen who were discussing the merits of various translations of the Bible. One liked the King James Version best because it's simple and beautiful English. The other minister said, and another liked the American Revised Version because it was more literal and comes nearer to the original Hebrew and Greek. That's a lie, but I'm telling this story here. Still another liked Moffat's translation best because it's up-to-date vocabulary. The fourth minister was silent. When asked to express his opinion, he said, "I like my mother's translation best." The other three expressed surprise. They did not know that his mother had translated the Bible. And he said, "Yes, she did. She translated it into life, and it was the most convincing translation I ever saw." Yeah, your children are watching. Everybody else is watching. God's watching. Amen. One last verse. We close Acts chapter 16. The book of Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, this is where Timothy gets saved. It's talking about the Apostle Paul in verse 1. He says, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed. But his father was a Greek." The excuse always comes, "Well, yeah, I'm saved, but my husband isn't." Did you know that Timothy overcome everything that this unsaved, unbelieving father that would not go to church, would not read the scriptures, would not live right, but praise God, his mother did. He said, "Thou hast known the scriptures from a child." It's what we just read. How'd that happen? The mother. It sure didn't come from the father. Sadly, we see more women get saved and come to church and be godly, follow the Lord, than men. Sad thing to say, but so it is. Pride's a terrible deterrent to anything that'll ever happen to please God and please your family. Then pride. You need to humble yourself. You need to come to the Lord Jesus. Trust him alone. I don't mean trust Jesus and Mary and the Pope and the disciples and the apostles and everything. No. You just trust Jesus and then you'll be saved. Miracle mothers. I love mothers. I love godly mothers. Praise God for that I had a godly mother as well. I pray that you might be blessed by the scriptures this morning. Mothers, my honor goes to you. My hat is off to you, for sure, for living a godly life. And if you have it, that you will today. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessing of being able to study the Word of God. Bless the Word that has gone forth. It's your Word. It will not come back void. You have told us. May each mother have a grand Mother's Day today in Jesus' name. Amen.